Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Hi, hello, and welcome to the 53 Johnson's NFL Red Zone Recap Podcast. Here are your hosts, E-Dog Ditty and the real Mr. Plus.
And you are with the 53 Johnson's Podcast. We recap the NFL Red Zone for you this week, the week 5 of the NFL season, October the 6th. And how you doing? I'm Mr. Plus, and you are?
I'm E-Dog Ditty. I'm really happy the way I faded out that intro. I really screwed it up last week. Hold on, we're going to just to make an adjustment here. Really,
and now you're going to touch the mic, so...
Well, you know, we got to move it a little... We're getting a little low level, so it's a little better if we do it this way. Okay, week 5.
Week 5, that's all. You just mess that's with the mic, move it closer to it. The week 5, throw it to me.
I'm into week 5.
You're the one with the notes.
I'm the one with the notes.
You're the one, you really are the genius.
Well, let's just start briefly with Thursday's Cleveland-Buffalo game, which most of us, I think, have assumed was going to be terrible. But it actually proved to be probably one of the best Thursday night primetime game of the season, which is happening in week 4. Like, every other game's kind of been a blowout. Even though this one, the final score was Cleveland 37, Buffalo 24. Like, Buffalo was in it until the very end, until E.G. Emanuel did whatever, like, sprained his knee, going out of bounds, getting hit, and then the game
got a little bit out of control after that.
Undrafted rookie Jeff Toolbox comes in,
Nice.
He's not that good. So, who knows what's going to happen next week? Are they going to start him? Are they going to bring in Josh Freeman? Are they going to bring in Tebow? Who knows?
Who knows?
But what's really fucked, and we were talking about how this podcast will use explicit language, so if your children are listening, they probably shouldn't be. Cleveland is now first place.
Penis.
In the AFC North.
Poo-poo.
Okay, yes. Let's try and be mature. We're using explicit language.
We're not being mature.
Let's try and be mature about it. So Cleveland is in first place in the AFC North. That is who da thunk. Okay,
that's true. No, that's a really good point to make as opposed to my point, which I thought had some merit.
Moving closer.
Moving on, yes.
On to Red Zone.
Yes, first of all, my Saints!
Only 8 games. Eight, because we're starting to get into real bye weeks this week.
Who's on a bye this week, do you know?
Who is on a bye this week?
I'll say that then the first game we're going to talk about this week, my Saints won, and they think they won handily. It was never really close. Well, they made it close at the end.
I don't know why we're talking. You asked for the bye weeks. So Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, and Washington are all on bye weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So 4 games. So 14 games in total this week, of which there were 8 on Red Zone at the 1 o'clock slot. There were supposed to be 3 in the 4 o'clock slot, but of course the Oakland-San Diego game got pushed to 11:30 p.m. Eastern time.
They couldn't turn the stadium around
because
fast
of baseball, but Oakland soon will no longer play in Oakland, no longer play in that stadium. That's going to change. They're going to be one of the first teams to move to L.A., guarantee me, or London, if they're going to go through with that crazy plan.
Certainly there were a lot of people on the Red Zone going on, like Chicago fans who were just bemoaning the fact that they were Chicago fans and just the disarray that team was, and basically summed up by the fact that they couldn't get a playoff at the end. It kind of looked kind of looked a little bit like Cutler didn't want to get a playoff at the end.
And the fact that they started the game with a fumble, like one of their first or second plays was a fumble, a bad handoff from Cutler to...
But the Saints looked great. They played it. They played on a short week. They beat Miami,
do we really consider playing on a Sunday or a Monday and then playing the following Sunday as to being a short week?
Yeah, it's a short week.
I thought a short week now was if you had to play on Thursday and you got...
Oh, that's a really short week.
Really short week. Okay.
That's a short... So like we're a shorter
adopting
week,
the Dr. Seuss rules for how short your week is. The really short week. The really, really short week.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we were trying
now,
to segue.
New England, since Ian Kecko's got great hair and comes in as a fullback, he's got some great hair.
Okay,
and a nice beard.
There we got that. We'll post a picture of that if you think it's awesome.
If you think it's awesome, retweet. If you think it's not awesome,
I think
favorite.
It's always awesome.
And we'll take a vote.
We'll
put that up on...
Two things happen. Tom Brady gets sacked multiple times, and then he loses in the rain. That's to me what was so awesome about this game, because I think it was one of these pick games where you couldn't Vegas wasn't giving you odds on it, so you couldn't take a money line bet, there was no spread on it because it was too close to call, and I picked New England in my pool, so I'm very happy because... Oh, no, I picked... Sorry. I picked Cincy in my pool.
So you're very happy.
I'm very... Because I
crazy love, end to that game.
I love betting against Brady, but it was like basically a storm at the end of the game. And
oh, it was insane.
He couldn't, you know, he couldn't throw, even though Cincy kept committing penalties and giving... Yeah. Giving Brady giving them, extra giving downs. Them
more chances.
They're like, please, come and beat us.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was raining so hard, he could only throw the ball and, you know, he couldn't throw it and the receivers couldn't catch it. It was awesome.
Yeah. And then Pac-Man Jones finished the game.
Yeah, Pac-Man with the final interception.
Without committing a felony.
There's
something there.
He's learned his lessons.
Yeah.
I had picked the Giants. I figured they were due. They're not going to go 5-0, but hey, if I knew everything, I would be awesome. But yeah. I'm not.
If you knew everything, you would be my brother-in-law, who won $26,000 last week.
On an $80
bet. On an $80 bet on ProLine. Picked all 14 games correctly. If you don't believe me, I shall show you that ticket on the interwebs.
Yeah, you didn't actually... I
sent the thing, but the attachment
wasn't
there.
There was no attachment, but the message told me what he had done, and I was like, why do I suck at betting on the NFL? Because I blew a two-game parlay today. I bet on Indianapolis, and which came through. And then I bet on Tennessee over KC. Because I believed in Fitzpatrick.
I believed in Fitzy, too. And he almost came through.
We are sort of natives to Toronto, Canada, which means by default Buffalo.
Yeah.
New York is the nearest team, the Bills. And, of course, Fitzpatrick, Harvard man, was their quarterback for the last year and a half until the end of last season when they drafted the EJ Manuel. And he's hot and cold. The best description I heard of him earlier this week was someone described him as he thinks he's Brett Favre, but he's not. He like thinks he can make all these crazy throws, but he's just not as talented as Brett Favre. So it doesn't work out as often as it should.
It goes awry more often than it did for
Brett
Favre. He
wants to be a gunslinger, but he's not a good gunslinger.
I don't know, though. Like, I like Fitzy.
I agree. And he has his... The problem is he streaks. He has these hot streaks, and he's awesome. He's Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's cold, and then he's just terrible. He's like,
cold, and he's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's not... Well, no, he's like, you know, Derek Anderson.
Yeah.
He's... I mean, Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
Brady Quinn.
Ah,
or I guess this week, Jeff Toole. He's just terrible.
Jeff Toole.
Not like you're watching it, you're like, why is this college quarterback playing playing NFL? Like, it really looks bad.
Why
like,
is the punter playing quarterback?
it looks really horrible. So,
well, let's move on.
What were we talking about? We were talking about the Philly Giants game.
Exactly.
This is another note we had. Is you at one point say, you can rely on Eli when Eli had a good pass.
That's funny.
And I kept saying, you know, just because you make a rhyming...
I want you to write it down. You wrote it down.
Rhyming couplet of something doesn't make it funny.
Bouncy
goes downsy.
Bouncy goes downsy.
You can rely on Eli. Write that down.
Yeah, write it down. Like, get a picture for it. Do a little gift for it.
I have actually written it down.
Yeah, you have written it down.
Anyway, but our other note on this game...
Oh, it's a double backflip.
This was actually the first score of NFL, of the weekend, of the NFL Red Zone. And it was the Giants' Wilson who ran it in and then did a double backflip. We'll post a video of that because I do have one.
Now, I thought when you said that you meant he did a flip and he flipped twice in the air and then landed. And that would have been insane.
Well, that would have...
But he did a backflip and followed by another backflip, which was also quite impressive.
If he had done that, it would probably have revealed that we do, in fact, live in the Matrix. And that while there are rules, they can, from time to time, be bent. And broken. And we've all taken the red pill. Anyway, what else do we have? Oh, this was a game where clearly Coughlin at one point should have gone for two. Because there were a lot of two-point conversions and a lot of instances where you're like, should they go for two?
Yeah.
And teams did and succeeded. And this was one thing where the Giants were...
They were down
by 2 points.
Yeah.
And they didn't go for two. And it's like, why wouldn't you risk it at this point? And they didn't. So they were down by one, and ultimately it didn't matter because they lost by 15 points. But that's the key; they lost by 15 points.
Yeah, exactly.
So they lost by three scores essentially, which was another bone of contention I had. Where at one point another team was down by 16 points, and Scott Hansen goes, and the commentator had said, "Oh, they're down by two scores." And he's like, no, we're down by 3 scores. And he's like, well, it's 16 points. Technically, that's 2 scores and two-point conversions. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, or do we really consider it that way? I always thought if it's like more than 14, if it's 15, if it's 16, it's a 3-score game.
Well, you see, no, I disagree. I think
I've never heard it that way.
I would say this. If it's 16 points, it's technically a 2-score game. If it's 16 points, you're saying we have to score. Okay, we got to get the 2-point conversion. Now, if you don't get that first 2-point conversion, now it's a 3-score game, right? But you have to get both 2-point conversions.
Right.
But that's what you're trying to do, right? Like, you're not going for a field goal, definitely, at any point in time in that situation. You need 2 scores. You need 2 touchdowns.
But the idea that 16 points is a two-score game. Technically, but
it is. Really, it's nothing to argue about. Move on. Not stretching it.
Okay, Detroit at Green Bay.
Yeah.
I thought this would be a shootout. From this game because the first half was nothing but field goals.
It was a field goal-a-thon.
They would show them moving into the red zone and not scoring, and then, oh, there's a field goal. That's boring. And this is where he mentioned that difference.
Yeah, the 16-point thing. That was the most exciting thing.
I'm bringing it back, Green Bay. Yeah. See, that was the most exciting thing about the game was, I don't agree with that. I like Jones'
Lambeau lead.
And then Jones finally scored in the fourth quarter. And he had scored earlier and failed. He had failed both times to make his Lambeau leap.
Yes, his Lambeau leaps were bad.
Something we can post of that. And so he failed the second time. And then the third time, he managed to get the run up and do it. Yeah. And I'm saying, you guys need to practice this stuff.
After he
if you're going to do the leap, you got to practice
the leap. Anyway, yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous.
Or you got to do the thing where you jump forward and you kind of like pull yourself
you
up.
But you got to practice that. It's like you got to learn to do it. At least do it a few times.
But
and
you
practice.
Can't like assume that you're going to be able to just get your.
But
butt
just go
up
on.
It's pretty high.
I'm in the game. It's I'm going to do high. It. You got to practice.
But if you
next game Seattle at Indy, I picked Indy and was vindicated.
You were vindied.
And this was a game where. Indy did go for the 2-point conversion so that they would tie the game because they were down by 2.
Yeah,
if they had only and they this was an instance where because they took the 2-point,
right.
they ended up tying it.
That's right.
Because they were up.
And it's actually them getting that was big. That was huge.
And they had gone for it before. Yeah.
And even if they hadn't gotten it, they still would have won.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. So basically, it made it, you know, so they won by a field goal. So the other team, even if they got a field goal, would only have tied.
Yeah.
But even if they hadn't have got it, they still would have got that field goal and won.
Yeah.
Right?
But
all things being equal.
It always gives you the momentum.
Though. Yeah. And I just got to see what are the percentages. Are they so bad on a 2-point conversion?
Well,
you just
no,
don't
I,
do
I think Old Man Coughlin is old and
old man. Oh, my lumbago is acting up. I'm cranky.
We're starting the game now. I'm throwing my red flag.
I remember
seeing a game years ago with Wade Phillips coaching Dallas.
I need a seltzer.
And it was against Tom Coughlin. And they were like the two oldest coaches. In the NFL. And they both threw their red flags like literally on the first series.
Yeah.
Like one of them, each of them challenging the position of a first down. And you're like, what are you doing? It's like, new rule. If you're over 65, you are not allowed to throw your flag in the first quarter of the game.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to, no challenges if you're over 65. Mm-hmm. And this is a rule I hope they institute because I think the coaches are getting older. So our next game was the Baltimore-Miami game, which ultimately Baltimore won. The only note I really had on this game, because I think both teams are really slow. Miami's just young. Tannehill proved last Monday against New Orleans that he's a boy lost in the game of men when he goes into the Superdome to face Drew Brees. And there are a bunch of people in my pool trying to talk themselves or me into, you should go for Miami. What's wrong with Tannehill? And I'm like, I don't care what's wrong with Tannehill. You go into the Superdome, Drew Brees, Monday night, Darren Sproles, Jimmy Graham, and the noise, you know, Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Forget it. You're not going to win. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. And Drew Brees has some insane record on Monday Night Football. Like, he's just like, somehow Monday nights. That's exactly. When Drew Brees is in the zone.
Well, you know what? It's because he knows all of his rowdy friends are there.
But it's not even in the Superdome. Like, even Monday nights,
if he doesn't win, they're
going to
wreck his house. They're visiting. All his rowdy friends are there.
This is a game to mark down. December 3rd, Drew Brees will be Monday Night Football at Seattle.
Oh, really?
Which is a game I'm trying to fly out and see because I have a friend of mine who has season tickets for the Seahawks, and you know that's December 3rd. The good thing is I'm going to be in New York on October 20th, 2 weeks from now. And I may be going to the Jets at the New England Patriots at the Jets
bye week,
which means we wouldn't be doing the podcast because we won't be doing the podcast because I will definitely be away whether I'm at the game or not. Hopefully I will be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, our next game: Jacksonville at St. Louis. Who cares game? Like really, these teams are terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean.
The one note I had on this game where I tuned in and it says after Blaine Gabbert had already thrown a pick in the red zone and the commenter said he has not made many good throws, and I'm like, that is so obvious, like why would you even say that? Yeah, that's why he's Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah,
this is why Jacksonville may go 16 this season.
That first interception, I mean, I really got to see the film as to what he was throwing to.
He threw it to a guy who looked like he was wide open, but he was a defender.
Yeah,
like,
on the other
I did
team.
Not see one of his own players anywhere within 10 yards.
It could have been a blown route. I don't know.
It was pretty blown. So, it was terrible. It was a shitty game. And a who cares game. Like, neither of these teams are going to make the playoffs. Yeah. It's just they're each vying to lose so they can get a better... a draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
So the eighth and final game
was
Kansas City at Tennessee, which I'd picked Tennessee as part of the second part of my parlay, Indy and Seattle being my other part. Of course, I got the Indy part right. I didn't get the Tennessee part right. But it didn't look good from the beginning when Tennessee muffed up the first KC score was Tennessee muffing a punt. And KC recovering in the end zone. And that kind of is like the beginning of the end, mm-hmm. you know. It just sort of sets the stage for, we're going to play sloppy. Which is never good when you have Fitzpatrick as QB. So.
Exactly.
And then I loathe Alex Smith. I think he's such a game managing quarterback and he's boring. And I said he's useless. And you said, no, he's not useless. He's useful.
Yeah,
which is a very good point. He is useful. He's just not good.
He's serviceable, and he's better serviceable. Than most quarterbacks who are playing on Saturday.
It's like this dildo is serviceable. Do you want to stick it in your ass? No, like it's ridiculous. Come on.
Well, he's not a dildo. I mean, he's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, well, serviceable.
And, you know, he's and if he were a dildo, if it were dildo to dildo, Alex Smith would be a serviceable dildo.
Yes.
One that's not going to break up.
We will agree on that.
Which I would imagine would be very bad,
right? We'll agree on that. All right. So the great thing about this game is we also had a timeout at the end of the game at 4:20. And I was like, right. Okay. Let's go to Harvard.
And that's right around the time that we got followed by Blunt.
Oh, that's right.
Blunt Chick.
At Blunt Chick. We're very, very proud to have a new follower on Blunt Twitter. You have to look at that picture to see exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then Fitzy ran it in and scored. And I was like, this is the end. And then the thing we noted was that the thing about Fitzy, maybe why he's got the bad karma, is because he then did the Superman notion that Cam Newton does. I think it's okay to steal another quarterback's or another player's celebration if you're playing against them in that game. That's kind of I'm better than you and I'm going to do your move. That's total like trash moving that I can get behind.
Trash moving? What's that?
Well, it's like trash talking, but you're doing the trash moving. I'm trash moving. I'm trash moving your moves.
Okay.
By doing them and being ironical moving. That, you know, I'm stealing your move.
Ironical.
So, yeah, well.
Ironical trash move.
These are,
go on.
R. Kelly will tell you these are all real words. All right,
go on.
Language. Anyway, but if you do
ironical
it in a game.
Trash moving.
If you're doing it in a game that you are not playing against that person who doesn't move, then it just seems like you're a douche. Are we done? Do we have anything else?
I've got the internets, and that's usually how we end the show.
You've got your internet. I don't know if I like this segment. I didn't think I liked it last week.
You didn't like it last week?
I think people can go on Twitter and they can see this stuff.
You know what? I think it's socializing. What we're doing is we're interacting, and that's great. And you know, people interact with us. Like, shout out to Blunt Chick, who, you know what? I'm going to say to Blunt Chick, you know, your picture for your little avatar is not going to help you to get a job. probably. But it's nice and everything. I'm not complaining. But
certainly, you know, certainly, Tennessee taking their last time out at 420. They certainly will endorse your picture.
Yeah, they would exactly. Yeah. I wonder what they were doing in the huddle.
And we do, And we do have a photo. Do have a sweet screen grab photo.
So anyway, so you we'll know, post that. And 420. And she was actually the one who pointed out that the last bear snap sums up the offense perfectly. It's a new offense, but you need to know the clock. And it's so true, man. She's like, she's obviously an upset Bears fan. I'm an excited Saints fan. So, but yeah, they fell apart at the end there a little bit.
Oops, sorry for that.
No worries. I do like how you mentioned on the MNFNO, something we said, which is actually something that you said. Coach Sean Payton always seems to be doing blue steel on the Saints sidelines for Monday Night Football. And that's something like you've got to actually get, because it is really true.
I'll get some photos. We'll put that in the,
yeah, he does blue steel.
We will, we'll include a photo there.
Yeah.
Are you going to give me a screen grab so I can put that up? I think I had partial, I didn't have your responses last week. I don't think the photo did justice to what you talked about. So can you not screw it up this time?
Okay.
So I guess that does it for this week. We'll be not back. Will we be back next week? You're going to be out.
Well, you know, we might.
You're going to be away. I'm definitely away 2 weeks from now. So I may have to do a solo podcast.
You should do a solo podcast.
I may do a solo podcast.
And then, you know what? I'll send something to you, like heckling.
Yes. We'll put in some sound bites of some heckling and may do it solo. Anyway, we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, well, it'll actually be really exciting when it might be next week.
It could be.
It could be a lot of crazy stuff.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Do you have some outro music today?
I do. And again, we're going to be giving away, now I'm expanding the choice of DVDs to True Romance.
Wow.
Goodfellas. And now, this week, if you don't like either of those movies...
Which, if you don't like either of those movies, what's wrong with you? Those are two great movies. Well, but what's the third one?
American Psycho.
Oh, wow.
DVD.
Wow, I feel
Director's cut. So,
wow.
So what you have to do is identify the film from which the extra music comes from. This is a little more obscure, but I will give you a hint. It is from a movie that stars David Bowie. And I mentioned that because we are in Toronto, and if you haven't been to the AGO, you should, to see the David Bowie exhibit, which is on for the next 2 months until the end of November. And it's very impressive. It was from Victoria and Albert Museum in London earlier this year, and it's a fantastic exhibit. And that's what inspired me to put this music in at the end. So, on that note,
let's hear this song.
We'll bid you farewell.
You have been listening to the 53 Johnsons NFL Red Zone Recap Podcast. You can follow us on the Twitter at 53 Johnsons, that's at 53johnsons. Or you can reach us on the email at 53johnsons@gmail.com. That's 53johnsons@gmail.com. Please follow the blog at 53johnsons.wordpress.com. That's 53johnsons.wordpress.com. Please like our fan page on the Facebook at facebook.com/53johnsons. That's facebook.com/53johnsons. By now you know we do not spell Johnsons with a T. You can also download the podcast on iTunes. Thank you for listening.